How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined. This is hashtag the return. Harrison Fagan is back, and he's not a Zami Dragon. Woo!
You know, apologies to those of you that, like me, have not watched Thrones yet and just had that one spoiled. So thanks, Anthony.
We specifically talked about this on the show or before.
I'm choosing not to acknowledge that. Harrison I am on the show is a different Harrison than I am in real life. It's a very split personality type deal.
You're like Bran, who is like now useless, even though he's supposed to.
Exactly. Bran. You just spoiled it for show Harrison, even though real Harrison already had it spoiled. So yeah. Now that was messed up.
Bran is that guy who like took a.
To clarify, we're talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
For any of you not listening.
Uh-huh. No, I want to talk, like, just 2 seconds. 2 seconds, I want to just a quick Thrones thing. I am so sick of Bran, and I really wish that George R. R. Martin would start writing again because this show has become so directionless. But, like, Bran, he has all this power. He has all this knowledge, and he's just like, nah, fool, I'm sitting this one out. Like, what?
Well, they say, really, Bran, all it is good for helping your digestion, but apparently it's not helping your digestion of Game of Thrones.
Well, it's like Bran is the opposite of me. He has all this knowledge, and he just refuses to say anything. And I know nothing about anything, and I say all kinds of crap.
You're like Jon Snow. You know nothing.
Exactly. All right, so enough of that, though.
But actually, yeah, we can. This is actually a natural kind of segue, because we can get into your lack of knowledge and liking to spew things about it in regards to your lack of knowledge on the Lakers and these tampering charges that the Pacers have filed against them. But we're going to pontificate about it anyway.
Lack of knowledge. How about lack of tampering knowledge? I thought Magic went to tampering school.
Yeah, to be clear, Anthony and I are not aware of any tampering.
All right, so as always, find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Let's start, though, with the biggest news of the last couple days, or the last few weeks about the Lakers. The Lakers have had formal tampering charges filed against them by the Indiana Pacers about, what, 2 or 3 weeks after Paul George is no longer a Pacer. Like, what the hell were they doing over the last 2 weeks? It's just like,
so there are two options here. They were either assembling a case and getting a law firm and like trying to figure out exactly where they felt like they could kind of get the Lakers for this one. Maybe they've been working on it for a while, or there was your theory.
My theory was that they came out and they were all proud about how they got, you know, like the local college hero Victor Oladipo, who went to Indiana University, and they even got a white guy that they could brag to everybody, like, hey, look, we're bringing more white people into this organization. They were like, they saw Victor Oladipo shoot, and they're like, oh, no, that's not good. All right, well, let's at least see how good this white guy is. And then they watched Domantas Sabonis, like, brick a 20-foot bank shot, and they're like, all right, yeah, we gotta get in touch with the league and figure this stuff out, because what we just got back for probably the best player – one of the best players in the history of the organization is not that great, and our fans might be kind of pissed.
I'd say the best.
I really haven't thought about the best players in the history of the Indiana Pacers, but I could I, you can
that you and about 99% of the population,
including Pacers fans. They're like, it's Reggie Miller, it's like Rick Smits, Mark Jackson, and then a whole lot of like gravy,
just
and
dudes.
Then it was yeah. And then it became
Ron Artest was pretty good for a while before he punched a fan, like.
They had that whole era where they just assembled all the white players in the league because they didn't want to associate themselves with the people who fought at the palace. Like that was an actual thing that they tried doing. Anywho, but that's the organization that is filing their tampering charges against the Los Angeles Lakers. We do not know the specifics, so we can't necessarily say whether or not this has anything to do with Magic Johnson winking on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Though that is a connection that a lot of people have made, which would be like, if that's the centerpiece of the investigation, this immediately becomes one of the funniest storylines in the last 20 years of the NBA.
So see, I wrote about this last night. I highly doubt that that's the centerpiece of the investigation, but in and of itself, that was pretty that was textbook tampering. Like, you're not allowed to go on TV and do that, I don't think, under the NBA bylaws. And I think everybody was kind of surprised that the Pacers didn't take major issue with it. And I guess they just kind of figured, like, hey, it's Magic Johnson. He went on TV, said some things. Like, you know, he's just an NBA executive now. Doesn't need to know how to control himself. But I think that's the type of thing where players and teams have done that type of stuff before. And I mean, that would be a slap on the wrist, if anything. They'd get fined. They wouldn't be unable to sign Paul George or get fined a draft pick over just that interview.
Well,
is more than that.
Yeah, we'll get to like, you know, what the potential outcomes are and all of that on the other side of the break. But can we just take a second to laugh at, like, 2 weeks. I mean, yes, they could have been compiling a case to make against the Lakers. And look, if that is the case and they took 2 weeks to compile one and they think that they have a legitimate case now, then yeah, then, you know, maybe the Lakers and Laker fans should be a little bit worried. But 2 weeks and the Lakers didn't even get Paul George.
Yeah, this is the ultimate move in terms of pettiness.
Yeah.
And just like, they have to be. And honestly, I can't blame them for being upset about this, but they have to be upset that, like you said, this is the best player in franchise history, and they were able to get Victor Oladipo and DeMontis Sabonis for him.
Yeah.
And like, that's not a great haul. And whether or not the Lakers tampered, that the Paul George's very well-known interest in going to the Lakers certainly hurt their leverage. And so, I mean, maybe this is just them shooting their shot on the way out. Like, hey, we got screwed. We might as well screw these guys that kind of screwed us.
Yeah, I mean,
whether or not they did so illegally,
we'll talk a little bit more about that, because there's something to be said there, both from the Pacers side and from the Lakers side. But we're gonna take a quick break. We might have an ad here. Otherwise, it's just gonna be Harrison and I staring into the abyss for about 5 seconds or so. And then we'll get back to laughing at these petty-ass Pacers.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy.
Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.
All right, so if you enjoyed an ad, you enjoyed an ad. If you didn't,
thank you to whatever sponsor that was.
Yeah, thanks. But we are going to pick up the conversation where we left off. And Harrison, you were talking about whether, you know, Paul George's interest in going to the Lakers hurt the Pacers' chances of getting anything in return for him. That is not a case. That's a non-starter, right? Like, you can't even have a conversation. You can't legislate somebody's interest in playing for another organization.
No, of course not. Yeah. And I don't think that the Pacers are trying to do that. But mm-hmm. I do think that they're probably pissed about it, and they're trying to figure out, like, hey, let's see if the Lakers did anything stupid and illegal that would be easily traceable. And I mean, they might as well. They got nothing to lose, right?
I guess. They might have something to lose, right? Like if the Lakers decide, hey, we're gonna file a reactionary, lawsuit or file any kind of charges there, saying that they didn't take maybe the best offer that they could have just to spite their guy or just to spite the Lakers, then what I'm saying is they're opening Pandora's box here by trying to legislate competitiveness that cannot be legislated here.
Well,
And all of a sudden the NBA, which has never cared about tampering, like they at no point, there's all kinds of back channel conversations that take place that the NBA has never cared about. And if now all of a sudden the Lakers are the ones that get their wrist slapped, even a wrist slap to me would be ridiculous, given how much funny business has gone on. And now all of a sudden the league is saying, no, hold on, let's pump the brakes here, because this is the Lakers that are in the middle of this thing. Like, that's where I would be a little frustrated as a Laker fan.
Well, I think the different. I think what the Laker, what the there's all this. You talked about it. There's back channeling and there's all this stuff, and it's stuff that people talked about when Magic and Rob Pelinka got brought in. That these are guys that reportedly might be more willing to use those types of back channels. And the big piece of context here that we were talking about throughout that whole saga, when it looked like Paul George might end up in a Lakers uniform, was that he had the same agent as D'Angelo Russell and as Julius Randle. And Russell's now gone, but Randle's still on the team. And that gives the Lakers the ability to talk to Paul George's agent. And so I think probably what I would imagine, because they're, that independent law firm that the NBA filed is looking at all the correspondence between the Lakers and Paul George's agent and Paul George's people and Jeanie Buss and Magic and Rob Pelinka, and all those people are having to turn stuff over to them. And so I think what the investigation is ultimately going to hinge on is, of course, they were allowed to talk to this agent, but what are the documents? What is documented that they talked to this agent about? Did they expressly email him about Paul George stuff? Because if they did, they're going to be in some trouble. But if they talked to him on the phone, I highly doubt there's recordings of that. If they talked to him in person, even better, I highly doubt there's any way to prove that they were talking about Paul George. They can say that they spent 90 hours on the phone around the time Paul George was traded, talking about Julius Randle and maybe an extension. Like, there's plausible deniability there. Now, I think what the Pacers case and the league's case is going to hinge on is whether or not there's any explicit evidence that they were talking to Paul George's agent about Paul George without the Pacers' permission, which, given this tampering suit, I would imagine they did not give.
So what you're saying is a Rust Belt state is angry about emails still.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
All right, so let's get into the
I guess
potential fallout.
my thing is, I don't know, if Magic went on Jimmy Kimmel and winked at Paul George, I'm not entirely convinced that he did not email Paul George's agent about Paul George. Like,
So let's.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Now, whether or not those emails still exist, whether or not they will come to light, that's a different story. Or whether or not he actually did it, I mean, I ultimately don't know. Let's just say I wouldn't be shocked.
Do you think he thought to change up the initials? Like, I am really interested in Galporge.
No, see, I think Rob Palenka would be like, I'd really like to see a PG-13 movie this weekend. Any movement on that front, on whether or not you'd be able to w meet me to go see some type of PG-13 movie?
Yeah, what's the best PG-13 movie coming out next summer?
Yeah.
What are the chances that Los Angeles has the chance of landing the best
Of airing some
PG-13
type of PG-13 movie in Staples Center next offseason.
movie? Exactly. But I still prefer Magic's potential method of hey, let's
Magic just
talk
sends
about
it. Magic just
Galporge.
Ma Magic's communications are just going to be a bunch of winky face emojis that he sent Paul George's agent.
It's the winky.
It's
It's
just going to be a link to the Kimmel interview and a bunch of wink face emojis, and then the Lakers are great again.
it could be the wink face emojis that make up a PG-13.
Yes,
You
he had an intern spell that out for him.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the
He's
email
like, I
I
was
want to
just
see.
sending him winking emojis. I don't know. I guess I must butt dial them. That's my bad.
The exact formation of a PG-13. Let's talk really quickly, though, about the potential fallout here, because the Lakers, if there is any proof of potential actual tampering, that, like, you know, jokes aside, Magic and Pelinka said things to or about Paul George that they shouldn't have, there are potential ramifications here that, quite frankly, I don't know if I've seen Laker fans all that concerned about it. So let's get
getting behind, inside baseball a little bit. Our analytics would say that they aren't very concerned about this. This is not something that a lot of people are clicking on about. And I think it's because it's negative. Some of that is negative news is not it. Like, good news doesn't traffic as well, or bad news doesn't always traffic as well, mm-hmm. because people don't want to read about the Lakers messing up something. They want to read about the Lakers signing Paul George. And so I think some of it probably has to do with that. But yeah, if they're hit with, this is serious stuff. If they get found to have tampered, there's a chance they could lose draft picks. There's a chance they could be fined up to $5 million. There's a chance they could even have, according to Woj, future restrictions on acquiring George and possible suspensions of offending officials. So that could mean the only time that the NBA has dealt with, like, a major tampering case was the Joe Smith thing with the Minnesota Timberwolves, where they were found to have had a side agreement with him on a contract before he was a free agent, and they weren't able to sign Joe Smith, and I believe their owner and general manager were both suspended. And so something like that could, if the Lakers messed up here and they are guilty of something, that could be really serious, and that could really, really hurt their plans going forward.
And I don't think it's of the same ilk of the Joe Smith thing, but I believe the Celtics weren't allowed to send Kevin Garnett or Paul Pierce to the Clippers because there was that time where they, you know, that Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Doc Rivers were all considered this, like, unofficial but official, same part of the, you know, all part of the same deal.
Yeah,
going over.
Yeah.
But they wound up saying that the Celtics and Clippers, after the Doc Rivers trade, were not allowed to trade with each other.
Were allowed to, but they would have been risking something.
Yeah,
I think there would have been, like, a possible type of investigation or sanctions there, and I think that's why they avoided it. I don't know that it was ever explicitly stated that they weren't allowed to, but I think that was the fear.
I feel like there was an explicit, those two teams.
I know they
make
couldn't
a deal
be part
together.
Of they couldn't be part of a package.
Yeah,
because you can't trade players for coaches. You can only trade, like, draft picks or cash.
Yeah, it was some kind of weird thing that, you know, and I could Google it right now, but I really don't feel like Googling Doc Rivers. Other than for, like, his you know, reactions to calls he doesn't like. Those are always fun. But the ramifications, though, like, one, how likely would you say the ramifications actually affect what the Lakers are trying to do? Like, how likely would you think that Paul George not being allowed to go to the Lakers is one of the fallouts? Like, a legitimate potential ramification here, or punishment for the Lakers. How likely is it that the Lakers have to give up one of their very few remaining draft picks moving forward? Money isn't that concerning. And suspension, quite frankly, isn't that concerning. But the two things that the Lakers cannot give up right now are draft picks, probably, and the ability to sign somebody who, by all accounts, was hellbent times two to come to the Lakers.
This is no inside info, but I just think that it would be very hard to prove tampering, like, explicitly occurred behind the scenes. I do think that they'll probably get a slap on the wrist ultimately for the Magic thing, and the NBA will say, oh, maybe there's enough here that we're going to fine you $25,000 or something. Like they're going to – I'm guessing they're probably going to get fined on some level, but I don't think it's going to be that much. Just because it's really hard to prove tampering, I think. All kidding about PG-13 movies and things like that aside. Even if the Lakers did tamper, which, again, we don't know that they did, but even if they did, it would be so easy for them to contextualize it and say, hey, like, we were just talking to this guy about Randall, we were talking to this guy about this, and there's probably no way to prove that they weren't, I would imagine. So I think they are – my guess would be that they're fine. But if they are found to have tampered, I mean, their whole future is thrown in jeopardy, I think, because the big part of next summer was the ability to sign Paul George and the ability to sign another max free agent. And if all of a sudden the Lakers are entering that summer and it's like, hey, he can't be part of any package here, maybe LeBron still wants to sign, maybe he still wants to bring some people with him, maybe all that stuff still goes well, but it definitely makes things a lot harder.
It would take an extraordinary level of stupidity to be caught tampering.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Like, if the Lakers are somehow caught tampering,
especially with what the NBA lets people get away with, it would have to be explicit.
It would. Well, yeah, right. And you know, like we talked about earlier about whether or not this changes, or I don't know if this was something we were going to hit on, but whether or not this changes the way we see the current front office. Right, as of right now, this feels really petty on Indiana's level. But if the Lakers are caught tampering and that extraordinary level of stupidity actually plays out and the Lakers do get dinged for something that is really hard to get caught doing, that's when I really start to worry about the Lakers front office and whether or not they're that level of inept. Because the league, the NBA or league, you know, if people are going to be specific, you know, picky about that again. But the NBA has had all kinds of, like we talked about earlier, back channel negotiations, wink wink deals. All these things have been taking place forever in the NBA. And if the Lakers somehow, or if Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka somehow cross that line, which the NBA has never even really, like, lined out anything. If they did, if they were so obvious in this, that's where Laker fans should be like, okay, yeah, what are we actually dealing with in this front office?
Yeah, I think there should definitely be a little bit of concern there. If they got caught and it was bad enough that the NBA can fine them or punish them in some way, there is a little bit to be worried about, just because so much of the merits of, especially Pelinka, less so Magic, but more so Pelinka, was touted as he's this guy who really knows how the league works. He knows it inside and out. He knows how to talk with agents. So much of his plaudits were about that background stuff, more so than the basketball. And fair or unfair, he may be a very good evaluator of basketball talent. The Lakers' last draft would suggest that he is at least somewhat competent if he had anything to do with it. But more so of his value was definitely talked about as this guy who understands the ins and outs of the league. He knows how to negotiate with agents. He knows how to work all these channels and get guys and recruit them. And if he got caught tampering, that definitely raises a few questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we also take a second to think of how Mitch would have handled this news?
Oh, no, Mitch never would have been caught tampering, because he wouldn't even, like, probably talk to Paul George's agent about, like, he'd email, he wouldn't talk to him on the phone, he'd only email and make it clear at the bottom of every line, I'm only talking to you about Julius Randle, I don't tamper.
No, I mean, how do you think Mitch Kupchak handled, like, how did he receive this news about the guys who replaced him? Given what we know about Mitch, one of the knocks on Mitch Kupchak and his regime was that they didn't tamper enough, right? So you have to think, he's sitting there at home, he sees this, you know, news on the newspaper, because we know he doesn't use the internet, the newspaper on his desk, and you have to imagine he lit up the world's biggest blunt.
That's not what I was picturing. I was picturing, like, maybe like a silent fist pump of vindication. I think that's probably about the level of emotion Mitch is, like, shows when he's like a 10 level of excitement.
Should we ask Mitch what he thought of, or how he received the news?
Sure. All right. We have fake Mitch Kupchak on the line. Fake Mitch, how did you receive the news of the Lakers possibly maybe tampering?
I laughed my actual ass off. It was hilarious. Here am I. I actually have a tape recording of me laughing, because it's such a rare and momentous occasion that I show any personality whatsoever. You ready?
Sure. Huh. And that was fake Mitch Kupchak.
He was pumped. Did you hear him?
Yeah, that he was positively like bouncing off the walls when he came into studio to record.
I got to tell you, we actually had to give him like some Xanax.
Oh my God. Can you stop implying that Mitch Kupchak uses drugs? It's like the second time in 5 minutes.
No, I said we gave him. Like it was my idea.
This is how we get fined for something else.
All right.
It wouldn't be tampering. It'd be like I don't libel. Know. No, see, now you just acknowledge it on the air. So now we're going to jail. Damn it.
There we go. Well, this has been the last
episode. To be clear, this was all parody. Everything we just said was parody.
Absolutely. All right. So any last thoughts here? How likely do you think it is that the Lakers get hit?
No, like I said, I don't think it's that likely. I think you'd have to be really dumb to get caught.
1 to 10.
I think they'll get like a slap on the wrist. I think they're going to get something, but I don't think it's going to get much. I think they're going to get like fined like $25,000 for inappropriate comments about another team's player or something like that.
Okay. And if it's any higher than that, are you like, which worries you more? The long-term effect of not being able to potentially sign a really good player, or the long-term effect of a potentially inept front office?
Ooh, that's a good question. It would probably be the player, honestly, because I don't think that if you just sign like a really great player, like we've seen the competence of ownership and executives like doesn't matter all that much. Like the Cavs got LeBron despite like their owner trying to get in their way all the time, and I think that matters less, maybe long term. But if you just are talking like quickest path to the next Lakers title or the next really good Lakers team, I think the bigger one is not being able to sign guys next summer.
Yeah, I would probably agree. And
because it's like success begets success. So yeah. If they sign a big fish, then all of a sudden they're considered big deals. They have that magic, like voodoo, like, and I more guys want to sign there.
Yeah, and look, I mean, this it's is like the Pat kind of Riley thing they can able learn.
To throw the rings on the table.
They can learn from this, right? Like Magic Johnson is not going to go on Jimmy Kimmel from now on and wink about another NBA player that isn't on his current team.
Yeah.
I wonder
watch him do it with LeBron tonight. He's going to make a special Jimmy Kimmel appearance to deny these allegations.
Like, if I was Jimmy
Kimmel... Jimmy Kimmel is your only NBA home for, like, off-season news.
No, if I was Jimmy Kimmel, I would ask Magic Johnson to come back on. And, like, a skit would be, okay, Magic, can you wink about this player? And it would be, like, a LeBron James picture. And Magic would say, no, can you wink about this player? And it'd be like Brandon Ingram. Oh, yeah. And he just gets really excited about winking. Like, that's how. And this is why I don't write for Jimmy Kimmel.
And this is also why you're not PR for Magic Johnson, because I don't think that the Lakers would go ahead and embrace that particular skit.
Probably not. All right. Well, this was fun. It's glad to have you back. Thank you, everybody, for reaching out to Harrison after that episode in which I implied almost that he was dead.
Yeah, that was really nice having people in my mentions for like a week, assuming I was dying of like some like illness. So no, but seriously, thank you. It's nice to know that I'm appreciated by our listeners, and thank you, Anthony, for holding down the fort last week.
I tried and failed. I didn't have a show on Friday, so anywho. All right.
Okay. Well, Monday. But that's fine. I came back to save the day.
We're back at it again on Friday. Enjoy this. Have some fun. Have some fun in our mentions. Send us a review of like what a Magic Johnson email would look like, a 5-star review and a Magic Johnson email to the Pacers in which he tries not to tamper while actually tampering. Or, well, he probably wouldn't do that to the Pacers, but to
Paul. Yeah, I was going to say, this is how they caught him, is he emailed the Pacers, and it was meant for Paul George.
He has a text message to Larry Bird. We want Paul George! That'd be great. But send us, put that in our reviews. We'll screen grab them, we'll put out the funny ones out there on our timelines. And we'll be back at it again on Friday. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Support for this podcast comes from Dice. With over 70,000 tech jobs and career resources like their salary predictor, Dice is the free way to hack your career in tech. Visit dice.com/canyouhackit for more info.